All right, I'm going to take up a little something unusual today. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. I want you to keep your fingers in two places. Keep it in the book of Proverbs, and then the other place would be Exodus 20 regarding the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to put a marker here, if I can find one, on the Ten Commandments, so I can be flipping back and forth to it, because that's the two chapters almost exclusively we'll be using today. So Exodus 20 and the book of Proverbs. Now, when we normally think of the book of Proverbs, we understand that it's interesting that the word that they chose for the book of Proverbs means proverb. That is something you do prior to the time you act. So if you have a lot of knowledge and understanding what the book of Proverbs says, you'll think before you do some kind of an act. So I like to make a comparison today between the book of Proverbs and how many of the Ten Commandments do we find in the book of Proverbs? Does it include those? All right, let's go back here, first of all, into Exodus 20. Well, notice the first commandment here. You are to have no other gods before me. Now, do we have those things outlined in the book of Proverbs? All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. And we will notice what is stated here. Proverbs 14 and verse number 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Now, when you're talking about above, who are you talking about? You're not talking about the rain, the clouds raining down money. You're talking about the above, which is a clear reference to God. And so it says here, the backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways. So I'm just giving that as the introductory thought here, because it illustrates the fact that someone is in a position to really do something for you. And then in verse number 31, we read, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. Now, who's his maker? Capital, that's God. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So again, we see here's a relationship in one's behavior, whether or not you're going to be honoring God by your conduct and how you behave yourself. And then Proverbs 17, verse number 5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. So he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. Now, what does that imply? That implies that you shall have no other gods before me. So what that implies is that God ought to be first and foremost in your actions and your thoughts, and nothing else takes precedence over that. I was hearing an interesting thing on the news here on the Wall Street Journal, and I didn't realize this, but a number of you probably remember when that Lockerbie disaster took place, when those Arabs bombed that plane and 240 people died. Most of them were just young college kids coming back from Europe. And it crashed over Lockerbie. And then they conducted a huge search and they found out what had caused it to go off. They traced it back to this one Arab down in, there were others involved, I'm sure, but to the one who was down in Algeria, where Gaddafi is the leader. Anyway, British Petroleum was trying to originate a deal with Gaddafi because he wanted to develop oil, because he needed the income, and if they could get oil, then they could sell and improve their whole economy. So British Petroleum was negotiating for that lease, and it was a huge area off the coast of Algeria that British Petroleum was wrangling to cure, to get. But Gaddafi laid one caveat on him, and that is, he said, the only way we'll make a trade if you let the terrorists go. So the British wrangled for a long period of time, and then finally Gaddafi was going to call a deal off. All of a sudden, this murderer who killed 240 innocent people was released on a basis of poor health, sent back to Algeria, and he's still alive today, and they expect him to live another 10 to 20 years. Now, you tell me that money isn't the god of this world. What do they care about those 250 kids and young people who were killed on that plane? They let that guy go for the sake of a big money deal, where the British government would certainly get a lot of tax money out of it, and BP would be making all kinds of scads of money. So you say, see, we see BP down in the Gulf, and this is what goes on in this world today. Now, do they have any respect for God? I'll tell you what the god of this world is. It's money. That's what people worship. Jesus called it mammon, the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, let's notice the second commandment here. Some of these are a little more explicit than this first one was. And we read here in verse number 4, "You shall not make to yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Second commandment. Now, do we find any hint of this in the book of Proverbs? Well, I'll point out Deuteronomy first, because this sets the stage for when I read. I got one proverb, I think, that addresses that reasonably well. And this is in Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 2. And here we read Deuteronomy 4, verse number 2. "You shall not add to the words which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Now, what would adding words have to do with this second commandment? Well, let's notice what we read here in Job 13 and verse number 7. Job 13 and verse number 7. "Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him?" So here's someone who's pretending to assume a responsibility that God has never given them. In addition to that, they're purveying the wrong kind of words, and they're not representing God. Now, that sets the stage here for Proverbs 30, verse number 6. And what do we read here in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 6? "Every word of God is pure," verse 5, "he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Now, stop and think for a moment. If you want to consider having no other gods before the true God, then when you consider all of these false gods and all of the things that are involved in the worship regarding these false gods, what do you find? You find all kinds of doctrines and teachings that are contrary to the will of God. What we like to call Christianity today is a good example of it. So have they placed other gods ahead of the true God? Well, I'll tell you what they've placed in front of him. They've placed money, and they've placed their own ideas and their own nations, and they're speaking things that are contrary to his will. Now, he allows that. But everyone is going to be held accountable eventually for those things. Now let's notice Exodus 20, verse number 7. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In other words, you misuse God's name in any purpose. And this primarily meant that it also meant the kind of thing that's being done today and using profanity all the time and using God's name in profanity. But it also has a reference to taking an oath and using God's name to supposedly back you up in it. But here, let's notice in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 9. Proverbs 30 and verse number 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So you can profane it in your actions, especially if you're calling yourself a Christian, or certainly in this particular case, any of the people of ancient Israel who represented God at the time. So you can take God's name in vain, in this particular case, denying him and saying who's the Lord, and then on the other hand, being stealing. In other words, if you get too much, you'll get big-headed about it, and you won't have any need for God in your life. And if you're poor, so poor, you have to end up stealing and profaning the name of God. It ends up being the same thing, doesn't it? So here, this book of Proverbs certainly gives a clue here regarding this third commandment. Now let's go to verse number 12. And if you'll notice, I'm specifically skipping the fourth commandment because there isn't anything in Proverbs on that. But certainly we have the rest of them. Now here's number 5. Honor your father and your mother. Now why? That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So here's a commandment, as Paul tells us in the New Testament. It's a commandment with promise. He states that very clearly in the New Testament. Here's a promise. You honor your father and your mother, your days will be long. Now, does the book of Proverbs include anything regarding parents? All right, let's notice here in verse number, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. So here you go. Direct statements here regarding your relationship with your parents. For they will be graceful. They'll be a graceful ornament on your head and a chain about your neck. So here we find that the book of Proverbs certainly covers this commandment here about honoring your mother and your father, which of course is the fifth commandment. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. So once again, you see the promise. Now, you find people who have no respect for their parents, and maybe in a lot of cases the parents don't deserve it. It depends on the parents. You hear about some of the tragic cases. There's one in the paper today on the front page in the Register Guard, and I don't know how many of you saw it, but it's about this man and his wife. They're in their 70s, and they live over in Florence. They had an adopted daughter at age 12, and I guess she had so many problems that they couldn't control her anymore. At age 16, she had a baby, illegitimate baby. And then they were living over in Colorado in the Denver at the time, and she was just completely neglecting that baby. She'd leave it for 2 or 3 days at a time, just in the crib, wouldn't feed it or anything. And the parents that adopted this teenage girl now that had this baby, they kept checking in on her. And I forget how many places she moved around. They moved around in it, and they became greatly concerned. And so they finally, the father just went in to hear the baby crying in there, and the door was locked, and he broke the door in, and he took the little girl out and took her, and had about a 2-year fight before the authorities would let the parents, I almost call them grandparents, adopt this little girl. So they did. They adopted her. And then she had a little sister who was in the same boat. And to make a long story short, that little sister was in 14 different foster homes before she was rescued by the parents. And they had a picture of them right on the front page over there in Florence. And one girl, I think, was chosen as the queen over there. And those girls said that those people were her absolute lifesaver. And they said if they hadn't come in and intervened, she'd probably be pregnant and what else, doing drugs or whatever. You saw the article, John. What if drugs or whatever, her life would be ruined. And it just gives you a good example here of what a lot of these young people get married to, young, and even a lot of old ones for that matter. They have no responsibility for their children. They don't take care of them. They just turn them loose, and then they wonder why the children turn up the way they do. So anyway, that's a good example of the I bet you these two little girls, all their lives, they'll have nothing but respect and great admiration for those parents who are in their 70s now. So it's quite a story. You ought to read it if you haven't read it in the Register Guard. But that's an example there of honoring the father and the mother, where this girl didn't do it, and it could have been destruction of these two little babies. Both of them were born out of wedlock. Proverbs 19, verse number 26. Proverbs 19, verse number 26. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. So there's another example of a scripture there that implies what happens when you don't honor your father and your mother. So that's a good example of that that fifth commandment, honoring your father and your mother. Now, the next one, it's the sixth commandment, is you shall not murder. Now, it's unfortunately that in the King James Version and some of these Bibles, it says you shall not kill. That's a mistranslation, because some people have carried that so far that they believe it is wrong to kill anything. So you don't kill animals, and you don't do any kind of harm to anything that's living. And over in India, their religion is so wacky that they believe if you break a branch off a tree, it feels the pain and it suffers from it. This is how extreme some people can get in their notions and in their ideas. But the literal Hebrew means you shall do no murder. And it's talking about other human beings. So let's notice what we read here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, let me see here. Proverbs chapter, that's verse 13 that I read. You shall not do no mercy. So look in Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll go back here to verse number 10. Well, let's pick it up, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. It's a murder, isn't it? Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, that is meaning the grave. And whole like those who go down to the pit. So here we find a clear-cut example here in the book of Proverbs forbidding this thing of practicing murder. And then in verse number 19, what does it say here? Verse 18. They lie in wait for their blood. And they secretly lurk for their own lives. So they're lying in wait for blood, but that blood's going to be their own blood that comes upon their own shoulders. And it's going to come sooner or later. If it doesn't happen in this life, it'll sure come in the next one. I've often wondered to what degree God is going to grant forgiveness, because Jesus said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So I don't know to what extent, but I'll just say this. All sins and iniquities will be forgiven based on the person's repentance. If they do not repent, when they come up in that resurrection and they do not repent and refuse to, they're not going to receive forgiveness, because forgiveness is based on repentance. And repentance means turning around and going the other way and not practicing that again, delivering, giving it up entirely. You can't have a repentance and go back to your old ways and be acceptable to God. Repentance is a permanent thing. So here you find then in this particular case here a clear-cut scripture regarding that. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And this time, verse number 6. the words of the wicked are, quote, lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Lie in wait for blood. Now, that's not talking about butchering an animal. It's talking about killing other human beings, which is one of the major crimes that goes on in this country today. I don't know if you've been following the news any, but there was a fellow down in California over a 20-year period, and I think the number is about 12 different women he killed. Many of them were prostitutes. But he would, and then they couldn't find him. They couldn't figure out who he was. And somebody gave him a clue that it might have been such and such, so they started checking him out. And in order to really prove things, you really have to have the evidence, so they needed DNA. And so they had a policeman masquerade himself as a cook, and he served this food to him, and this fellow ate this pizza, and of course left his DNA on the pizza and whatever was there. So they checked him out. Now, they didn't have him to check out because they didn't have any record of him. But they had a very close relative who was a felon, and they had his DNA. So they checked the DNA of that close relative of his, and it matched close enough to know that he was a fellow. So they finally caught him after 20 years now. And he was called, what was it, any of you remember the name? If you've been following the news. Anyway, there would be a big lapse. He'd kill several, then there'd be a big interregnum there, a number of years before he'd kill somebody else again. And so they had a certain name they gave him, but they finally caught him now. But it just shows you that people are going to, they're going to answer for it someday, either now or they'll answer in the future in the resurrection. Now, let's notice verse number 14. You shall not commit adultery. Now, what does the Bible say about that? What does the book of Proverbs say about it? Well, let's notice it here. We can go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 16. It mentions here, beginning in verse 11, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. And then notice what we read here in verse 16. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. And then the consequence, her house will lead to death and her paths to the dead. And none who go into her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So here we find warnings here about keeping oneself from being involved with the wrong kind of women. And then verse number 21. The upright, this is chapter 2, verse 21. The upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be unrooted from it. The unfaithful. So when you're talking about unfaithful, you're talking about couples who commit adultery with other couples, which happens quite often in this world. I forget what the statistics are, but it's worse in Europe by far than it is here. But there's a certain percentage of married couples that do that in the United States. So it just shows you that there's some pretty strong admonitions regarding that. And then in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion, and your lips will keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. So again, it shows you the consequences of unfaithful people or someone who allows himself to be lured by the wrong kind of a woman. I remember when I was a little boy, there was a movie starring Edward G. Robinson. Now, a lot of you wouldn't remember him or even know who he was, but this was back in the 40s, I think, when I saw this movie. And He walked down the street and he looked in this window and he saw this woman, and then he got involved. And to make a long story short, the whole movie went on and on. Finally, he got involved in a murder plot and ended up in prison and all this kind of thing. And then there was a kind of, you know how they make the screen flutter, you know, like we're stepping into a whole new world. And so he's walking down the street, and he looks in the window, and there's the same woman again, the same window. So what does he do? He just turns his head and walks right on by. So he had enough sense to learn, I guess, from some kind of a premonition that that's not the thing to do. So here we find here in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own, and let not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. So here we go, once again, admonitions to avoid that kind of conduct. And then in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 32, who commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Lacks understanding. So there you go. Now that's verse number 14. Now let's notice verse number 15. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. Now in verse number 15 then, let's notice Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So here we find once again, a financial obligation you have toward God. And then as we go on here a little bit further, chapter 9 and verse number 17. Chapter 9 and verse number 17. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. So again, we see that when people steal things, it may be pleasurable at the time, but it has an effect on them. Again, now if you're following the news, you probably heard about this barefoot bandit. And he's from up here in Washington State. He's a young fellow. I guess he's still in his teens. He's 6'5". And they've seen a number of places where he's burglarized homes, and they're after him. And the next thing they find out, he stole a plane and flew down to the Bahamas. So they had the Bahaman police looking all over the place to try to catch him down there. And now they decided he got into a motorboat and fled away to another island. So he keeps ahead of them all the time, and they're trying to get him. But what's significant about it, they call him the barefoot bandit, because he burglarizes his home in his bare feet. And probably because he probably thinks it makes a whole lot less noise than if you had shoes or anything on. But anyway, that's another example of what you find in the modern world. And Proverbs 9. Now let's go to Proverbs 20, verse number 25. Proverbs 20 and verse number 25. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy, and afterwards consider his vows. In other words, the saying here, if you make a promise, and certainly if it's a financial one, you better keep it, and don't renege on your words. There used to be a time when people would enter into contracts and a single handshake would do the job. That's not true anymore. And even you can have detailed documents drawn up by lawyers, and half the time they'll try to figure out some way to get around those. That goes on all the time. But what's saying here, if you're a responsible person and you make a promise, you better keep it, especially to God. And then in Proverbs 20, that's verse number 25. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 11, verse number 1. Proverbs 11 and verse number 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, why would anyone have dishonest scales? Because they want to steal something, cheat somebody out of something. They found out, I don't know if it happened here in this state, but I know back east, the government, whatever agency was responsible for it, they checked a number of filling stations on checking the amount of gas that they were pumping into people's automobiles and the amount being recorded there, and they found out that they were all chipping off about 10%. So 10% of the, they're only getting 90% of the gas, but they were charging them 100% for it. And a number of filling stations got fined pretty severely over that kind of thing. It's cheating. It's taking advantage of people. And that goes on all the time. All right, that's the commandment on stealing. Next commandment is bearing false witness against your neighbor. Bearing false witness. Verse number 16. Exodus 20, verse number 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, the word neighbor just means your fellow man. It doesn't mean the person next door to you. Now, let's go to Proverbs 4, verse number 24. Proverbs 4, verse number 24. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So in other words, somebody who has a deceitful mouth and perverse lips is obviously going to be someone who lies about other people or lies about circumstances and tries to make himself look good no matter what the circumstances are. I had one man tell me one time, he said he didn't know why he always lied when the truth would do him more good. He just had a habit of lying. And it's a very serious offense and very difficult for some people to overlook. But you do have to remember, you cannot be speaking deceitfully or wrong. You're better off not to say anything at all, frankly, than to say something that you're going to regret saying. When I first moved here to Eugene a number of years ago, we used to drive down Roosevelt Boulevard. And when you get down by that Baxter plant, this side more toward town, there was a big bench where people could sit and rest a while. And somebody, some person had written on the across the whole thing, "Tell it to my face, Rhonda." So it just shows you. She was offended at what somebody said. And it illustrates how people really get offended over things that are said behind their backs. Proverbs 6, verse number 17. Beginning in verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, and I want to emphasize, a lying tongue. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor or against any other person. And to carry that one step further, you read in the New Testament, Paul says, do not be lying at all. It doesn't mean you have to always say everything, but you certainly shouldn't be prevaricating in the process to protect yourself if you've done something wrong. Be honest, because you'll get further ahead in the long run. It's interesting because I watched these crime, they're not dramas, they're really documentaries of crime on some of these upper channels there. And you'll see time after time the police have arrested some person. They have all the goods that they need on him. They have everything that they need. And then they'll start asking him questions about this and questions about that, and he'll deny it, and he'll say that didn't happen, and they already have the goods on him. So after they let him tell all these lies and try to get out of it, then they hit him with the real facts and the real truth. And about that time, what do they say? I want my lawyer. So what they call lawyering up after that, and they don't talk after that. But it just illustrates again how people are not willing to admit are wrong, and a lot of times when they do. Proverbs 12, verse number 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying lips. Think about that. Have any of you have ever had a penchant to doing that, and you're still doing that, you better take some of these texts seriously, because here it is in the book of Proverbs, saying basically the same thing as you read in Exodus 20 here. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, you go to court, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with Judge Napolitano. He's the leading judicial advisor on the Fox Channel. And they have him on there occasionally describing things that whether or not they're proper and right and whether they're according to the Constitution, this kind of thing. And he sat on the bench for 17 years as a superior court judge. And he said that he knew there was a situation where a policeman was lying through his teeth. He knew it and the policeman knew it to cover what they were doing and to prove their case. And he said, lying is so common in courts that I'm paraphrasing. It's almost a waste of time to raise your hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It doesn't mean a thing. So there you go. That's another example of what we're talking about here. And in Proverbs 14, verse number 5, a faithful witness does not lie. But a false witness will offer lies. There was an interesting case that happened up here in Wrigley, I believe the name of the town was, Idaho, where a man had this big area of land that he had gained through, I don't want to use the word imminent control, because what happened, well, the law, according to the law, if you came in and occupied a land for 5 years and the owner or whoever it was knew it and they allowed it to happen, after 5 years you have a legal claim to it and could have it. So he had this big parcel of land up there, and so the Department of Interior, whichever one it was, they wanted that land. He wouldn't sell. And so they decided they'd frame him. And this actually happened as a historical case. So they got into his house and planted drugs in there. And they had a woman who was working with them, and the woman was a party to the thing, and she was the one that hid the drugs, as I recall. I may not have all the facts straight. But anyway, he knew he was innocent, and he knew it was a frame. So he tried to get a lawyer, and none of these lawyers would take the Department of Interior on. So he decided to go. This was hanging on, you know how these court cases hang for years and years. In the meantime, he went to college, and he didn't get a full law degree, but he got a lot of law knowledge, and so he knew how to tackle the problem. And so he sued him in court. And when he came to the stand there, and they were bringing witnesses against him, they brought this woman, who had planted the drugs. And right out in court, she openly admitted that she did it because they wanted to frame him. And boy, that just shot their case right out of the saddle. And he later on, he said he wanted to thank her very much for being honest. Now, what if she'd have been dishonest? So there you go. It's just a typical example. This woman, you know, don't think she won't be rewarded for her honesty. And in the end, the government would not allow to take his land. But they would have if they could have. So that's another example. Now that's Proverbs 24 and verse number 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 24. He who says to the wicked, you're righteous, him will the people curse, and nations will abhor him. But he who rebukes the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Now, what's the point here? The point is, If you're going to cover up and you're going to lie and you're going to say something good when it's really evil, and you're going to call evil good, which goes on in this world today, you're bearing false witness. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And boy, there's going to be a time coming down the line when people are going to be held accountable for that. It's a serious business. I think most people don't have a clue that they're being evaluated every single day on what they do. And this is why we need to take these things seriously. All right, now let's go to the last one here. This is the last one, the 10th commandment, you shall not cover. You shall not covet. It's actually an all-inclusive command that includes a lot of things. But it says here, you shall not cover your neighbor's house. That's what that federal agency was trying to do. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, what does covet mean? It means to have an inordinate desire for something that doesn't belong for you or that's harmful for you. You know, people who smoke cigarettes ought to realize that. Every time they pour that poison down their lungs and suck on those cancer sticks, they're coveting because it's very harmful for them. In the end, it's going to kill them, and it's going to cost them 10 or 15 years out of their lives. And they've even found out that secondhand smoke, if you're around secondhand smoke a lot, it's very, very detrimental to your health. And I know a woman, she's only 23 years old. She had a little baby. She worked in an environment, thick cigarette smoke. She didn't smoke herself, but she breathed that secondhand smoke all day long when she's working there. She died of lung cancer at age 23. It was one of the saddest cases I ever had to be a part of, because I went down to see her and she was just gasping for every breath she could get just to say a few words. And she just slowly suffocated. That's the closest I came to crying in the middle of a funeral service. And her husband was an Air Force officer, and he wouldn't even be there. He refused to be around her because he could not take the suffering that it was so painful for him to see her die that way. So that was a very, very sad case, but it shows you what happens. You can get in an environment where you have to breathe all those fumes all the time, and it can do you just about as much damage. They've found that out recently. They also found out that people said, well, if you quit smoking, you're going to recover in 7 years. They found out that's not true. If you've done damage to your lungs by smoking cigarettes, it's going to stay there the rest of your life. And I don't know how many people today now suffer from emphysema from cigarette smoking. I know, because I have a couple of relatives that did that, smoking cigarettes for 40 years. It caught up with them. In fact, I told one of them what was going to happen to him years ago, and all I got back was an argument. Well, I don't think that particular person would argue anymore. So you shall not covet. Now let's go back here to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 13 once again. Proverbs 1, verse number 13. Here's what they're saying. Remember here where these murderers are plotting to kill somebody? And what does it say? We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoils. Cast your lot in among us. Let us all have one purse. What are they doing? Coveting is what's going to lead to murder. And then as it goes on to say here, continuing on down the line here, they lie in wait for their own blood. In verse 19, the one I want to emphasize here, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain, particularly at other people's expense. So that's an example, once again, of this commandment. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes to his neighbor's wife. And what did that commandment say? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. So, and that works both ways, coveting your neighbor's husband, and it often works two ways. So he that goes to his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. So there's another example of what happens, warnings about coveting. So as I pointed out here from this book of Proverbs, you find implicit and explicit examples all the way through the Ten Commandments except the fourth. And the only reason I would say that is because these particular proverbs here, meaning proverb, brings up all the different examples that you could experience in life. And if you have enough sense to read those and pay attention to them, as I've said before, if you just read the book of Proverbs and paid heed to what is in there, 95 to 98% of your problems would never come up in your life. That's how valuable the book of Proverbs is.